The Commonwealth Games will be held in Birmingham this year. They're just around the corner, and we'll be heading down there to cover lots of sport for you and bring you all the latest news and updates. But what we thought we'd do is look at accessibility around the Games and the city as well. We have with us Emma Ord, who's going to tell us more. Thanks so much for joining us, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
It must be a really exciting time. Now, the Games are almost quite literally just around the corner. So what a very busy time for you as well. It's exciting.
Absolutely. It's really exciting. After all the time we've spent planning, it's great to see the venue starting to come to life and that excitement starting to build.
Obviously, there's a great deal of work goes into the Games years in advance of the launch date. But where do you start when you're looking at, say, accessibility for not just the participants, but you know the visitors who are coming to the city and the Games as well?
It is a huge process, but our accessibility team, we work really closely with the other departments within the organising committee. And our job is to make sure that accessibility planning is really embedded into everything we do. So we consider our facilities, our services, our processes and our procedures to make sure that we are entirely across the Games. It's also really exciting because this is the first Games where we've had a dedicated accessibility department. So it's a huge opportunity for us to look at all that planning, make sure that we covered as many areas as possible. We're bettering best practice wherever we possibly can.
So people coming to the city, you know, who have different accessibility needs can be confident they'll be able to get around okay and enjoy the Games.
Yeah, absolutely. And the work that we do, it focuses on our workforce, so our paid staff, our volunteers, our athletes, our spectators, so everybody that has a touch point with the Games.
For many these days, obviously social media is a big thing and websites, you know, we use them to get all sorts of information from booking tickets and all sorts. So has that been looked into in terms of perhaps maybe the first point that people will come into contact with the Games?
Yeah, absolutely. As you just said, you know, most content now is digital. So we've done a lot of work with our marketing and communications teams, the teams that manage those digital platforms to ensure that our information is as accessible as possible. Some examples of that that we've done that which are really great is our accessibility toolbar that we have on our website. So for a visual impairment kind of point of view, what can that do? Well, the functionality allows you to read the website aloud, so you can go through every page, every document and get that information. You can also look at the copy size, make it bigger, make it smaller, and also look at the colourways of that site. You can change whole pages, you can change links. It's really great functionality where you can change pretty much every setting you want on there to make it the best possible version for you to get that information. We've also looked at kind of the procedures behind the scenes of creating that content as well. So if we have videos, let's have a look at the audio and the caption element of that to make sure that everybody is accommodated for wherever possible. But also it's really important to keep those traditional adjustments in place. So we had a youth group or something similar who recently contacted us. They wanted to know more about our Queen's Baton Relay, and we were able to then provide them a fact sheet in Braille. So as much as we're very much focusing on that digital element, we don't want to forget our roots and ensuring that people that maybe don't have internet access or who want to consume our content in other ways can do.
In wider terms then, you know, people coming to the Games, as we said before, you know, they'll need places to stay, they'll be using public transport and so on. You know, again, accessibility is going to be a key here. So will people find it easy to enjoy the city and to move around the city?
So we work with our travel partners to ensure that our services are accessible. So for examples like this, so ensuring that there's audio and visual cues for stops across our metros, our trains, our buses. Also, spectator transport is included within their ticket. So we want to get people on public transport. We want to promote what great accessible services we have. So that's really, really important to us. We've also done a lot of work on this in the background during our planning. We have a brilliant accessibility advisory forum as part of the Games. And when we've done some work on the stations that are having redevelopment work, such as University and Perry Bar Station, and that group has helped us to get platform tactiles installed, which is absolutely fantastic. So yeah, we're hoping that people can get around the region nice and easily. We have loads of information about travel on our website and also Journey Planner, so people can work out their most accessible route depending on their own needs.
One of the big things about the Games as well is the legacy that they leave behind. How do you take that forward? You know, accessibility and other ways as well.
I think it's a brilliant chance for Birmingham to shine. I think there's a load of old perceptions and we're often overlooked. So this is a great chance to show exactly what we're made of. In terms of accessibility, I hope this is a great chance to show the examples of where there's brilliant work already taking place. And there's loads of examples of participation events, some of our venues that exist that we're using. And maybe the region is more accessible than some people realise. However, we want to convince more people and continue the great work. So like we've just spoken about, getting people on public transport, getting people out and about in the city. And maybe it is they find a route that they're like, actually getting on this bus, I can get here into town and I can go to this venue then. And actually that opens a different world of possibilities to people. But also educating and continuing work with other people that may not have made those steps to become more accessible yet. And them understanding that even the smallest start can be so beneficial. Through the games, our legacy, we're going to be publishing something called the Big Standard. So the Birmingham Inclusive Game Standard after the games has happened. And in there, we'll be detailing some of our planning. So what we did, how we did it, why we did it, what we learned from that, and trying to share that across the region so more people can become more accessible.
Just finally, Emma, then, if people would like to find out more about the games or the accessibility, are there resources or a website that they can go to?
Yeah, absolutely. So integration is a huge part of our games, as I'm sure you've seen already. So if you go to our website, birmingham2022.com, we have our venue pages where you can find out about all the accessible facilities and services per venue. We have our travel page where you can plan your journey. But if you can't find what you need, we've got a little chat function on there as well. So drop them a line and we can make sure you get the answer you need.
Emma, I appreciate you're very busy at the moment. And thank you very much for chatting with us on RNIB Connect Radio. And best of luck with the games.
Thank you.